Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon. My name is Bobby. If I haven't got to meet you yet, if you're new here, thank you for being here with us today. I'm excited to preach. I got to take last week off. I was up in Canada where my wife's from, and it was 41 and raining. So I'm a little still trying to get hot. It was cold up there, but we're honored you were here, and your presence matters, and I'm so grateful. If you're new here or you're just checking us out, stop by. We've got a table out here. We got a free gift. I think it's like a new car this week. And so, no, I'm kidding. It's not. But no, as I was gone, I've been so excited to get back up here and preach. I hate taking weeks off. I got to go to church last Sunday and I didn't have anything to do in the church service and it was weird and I hated it and I didn't like anything about it. No, I didn't hate the church. I hated, anyways, there's a picture I came across this week and I wanted to show you guys this picture. Go ahead and Caleb, throw that. Has anybody ever seen this picture? Any guys ever seen? Nobody's ever seen this picture. All right, so students, if you're under 30, there was these things called magazines back in the day, all right? And pictures would come out in magazines. This picture was from the early 90s. This is a real picture. This isn't AI generated, all right? This is from Joshua Tree National Forest, National Park. And so this husband and wife, parents of the year right here, decided on their hike that the best way to get their child across this little, you know, area was to throw the child. Now, I get what some of you in here are thinking right now is these are the worst parents in the history of parents, right? I know some of you are thinking that. Others of you are thinking, dang, that's pretty awesome. I want to go try that with my child, right? No matter where you stand in this, I think what we can come, I'm going to be honest with you, that has nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about today. But what we all can understand is that sometimes when we have families, that there's decisions to be made, right? There's some choices that we have to make in our lives when it comes to parenting, when it comes to being a student, when it comes to being a grandparent. There's choices we have to make. And no matter where you stand on seeing a picture like this, that can be difficult. Raising a family can be difficult. You know, it's not the easiest of tasks and the easiest of circumstances. A lot of times things come up that we're not real sure about. For the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about this ancient family led by a man named Abraham. And we see in the story of Abraham, what we're really seeing is his faith and his family. And sometimes they're going through some really hard things. They're going through some stuff that is challenging, and it's challenging their faith. It's challenging their family. They were called out by God at a very old age, and he told them, hey, I want you to leave your home. I want you to leave everything you know, and I want you to go to a foreign land. And along the way, there's going to be enemies. It's going to be tough. It's not going to be easy. And this is kind of our third week dedicated to this journey that Abraham is on. And when we see that Abraham decided to follow God with everything that he had, everything began to change in his life. And I believe, and we believe here at City Hope, that regardless of where you find yourself at today in your spiritual journey, that everything changes when God changes you. Everything changes when God changes you. Been talking about this for a few weeks now, that we're all on a journey. Whether you're new to church, you're old to church, you're new to this God thing, and maybe you've just picked up your Bible for the first time in a long time, you're on a spiritual journey. Every single one of us are on a journey. And Abraham here, as he's on this spiritual journey, he's followed God's call. He's followed what God has asked him to do. And he's walked away from his home, walked away from what he'd known. He's on his way to the promised land. And in one hand, Abraham has the promises of God. All right, God, this is what you've told me, that this is what you've promised me. But on the other hand, Abraham had the reality of his situation. And the reality of his situation did not look like the promise that God told him that was going to happen. Now, maybe today that's where you find yourself. You find yourself in this weird place of, man, why doesn't my life look like what everybody says it should or what God says it should? The reality doesn't yet look like the promise. And that's tough, right? That's when life gets hard, and that's when following God gets hard, and that's when going to church gets hard and reading your Bible gets hard, when it doesn't look like what everybody and what God says it should look like. Now let me just take a quick 30-second time out here. For those of you in the room this morning or listening online that you don't think of yourselves as Christians. You're not necessarily someone of faith, or maybe, again, you're new to the Bible and church and all this. There's something that I want you to make sure you know. As Christians, what we do is we look to God's word, right? We look to the Bible for truth and for wisdom and for inspiration and to be challenged. But there's also characters in the Bible. There's people in the Bible. And I think that there's people in the Bible that we can learn a lot from. And they give us examples of what to do. But then there's also examples in the Bible of what not to do, right? There's things like, man, I don't want to do what he did, or I don't want to act like she did. And so sometimes we get an example of what to do. Sometimes we get an example of what not to do. So here's Abraham. And he's on this journey. He's got the promise of God in this hand. He's got the reality of his situation that does not look like the promise in this hand. And where we pick up today in Genesis chapter 15, Abraham's kind of running on empty. He's kind of struggling. He's not really, and we're going to find out, is Abraham an example to follow, or is he an example of what not to do? Now, before we jump in, I want to get just a little bit raw today. You know, maybe you find yourself today like Abraham, and you're waiting on God to come through for something in your life. Maybe today your patience is running thin. You're running on empty. Maybe you've given up on God a little bit. Maybe there's a part of you that's like, that's just not for me. And your journey is a little weary right now, and you just got a little bit of struggle going on. Well, today I want to think about it like this. Think about a road trip. We like to go on road trips. Just say you're going to go down to Miami, right? We're going to jump on 95 South, and we're going to go down Miami. And along the way, when someone in the car goes, "Dad, I got to go to the bathroom," and guys, we're like, "No, you're not going, right? Like, just hold it, right?" Why do we do that? Why is like stopping at a rest area like a sign of weakness for guys? I don't know. All right, just like pee on yourself. I'm just not stopping. One of the biggest phenomena in the world right now is this place called Buc-ee's. Anybody ever heard of Buc-ee's? Anybody ever been to Buc-ee's? All right. How many, I got to know this. How many of you are like Buc-ee believers? Like you're all in on some Buc-ee's. All right. Any Buc-ee haters in here? Come on. All right. Whoa. We got some Buc-ee haters, right? You're like, it's overpriced. It's terrible. I don't want to go. Well, anybody never been? Man, you guys are missing out, all right? It's like Cracker Barrel on steroids. Like, it's got the most pumps you've ever seen. It's got dudes singing and making brisket. It's got the overpriced t-shirts and stuff. Like, this place is unbelievable, right? And it's what it's really done, Buc-ee's has made like the gas stop, the bathroom stop, the snack shop stop. It's made it like this oasis, right? That you look forward to. Some of you hate it, but some of us look forward to stopping on the way. And it kind of divides up your trip, right? You go from here. Where's the one in like St. Augustine or Daytona somewhere right there? And then you get a little bit further and there's one down there. It kind of breaks up your trip a little bit. It's like, all right, here's the first leg and we're going to stop here. And there's the second leg and we're going to stop here. Well, Abraham's never going to experience Buc-ee's, right? He's never going to get to go there. But we see his journey is kind of broken up into these different legs. And I want you to think about this today and bring it home to 2024, whatever you're walking through in your life. Again, you're on a spiritual journey. You're on a spiritual road trip, right? And there's going to be things that happen along your road trip that are going to break up the trip itself. And you're going to run into things, and there's going to be rest stops, if you will. And there's going to be Buc-ee's in your life that happen. But sometimes what we do is we just stop and we just focus on the rest stop. instead of focusing on the time in between, the travel time, the moments, the miles in between the stops in our lives, right? And for some of you, you've been on a stop in your life for a really long time, and you're so focused on the stop and what God's doing in this leg of the journey, you're not able to see the joy, the hope, the promise, the blessing that is happening along the journey. And so Abraham is on these kind of different legs of his journey as he's being obedient to God, and he's got God's promise in his hand and he's trusting him, but the things he sees isn't quite there yet. And I want to look at today these five legs of Abraham's journey. All right. And I know some of you are thinking 5 points, we're going to be here till noon. All right. We won't, I promise. All right. We'll get through them quick. But in each of the legs of Abraham's journey, it's the space in between that makes all the difference. It's the time in between. It's what deserves our focus. And I think here's the overarching theme. If you're a note taker, and this is what I want you to hear today. Every leg of a life following Jesus is worth enjoying. Every leg of a life following Jesus is worth enjoying. And I know what some of you are thinking, like even the times that aren't good, even the times that I'm struggling, it's the miles and the moments in between the stops, in between the markers that are most important moments to keep our faith, and that's what makes a difference. And so we're going to look at the last couple legs of the home stretch in Abraham's life in Genesis chapter 15. So if you have your Bibles, let's stand with me as we honor the reading of God's word together. Let's stand and read Genesis chapter 15. We'll just read a couple verses here at the beginning, verses 1-7. Listen to this part of Abraham's journey. After these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Now, what just happened is Abram just fought a battle, okay? He just got done fighting. He's speaking with some kings, and now God shows up to him, gives him a vision. He says, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. Your reward will be very great." But Abram said, verse 2, "The Lord God, what can you give me?" What a bold question. Like, what a bold statement to ask God. "What can you give me? Since I am childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." Abram continued, "Look, you have given me no offspring, so a slave born in my house will be my heir." Now, the word of the Lord came to him. This is God's turn again. "This one will not be your heir. Instead, one who comes from your own body will be your heir." He took him outside and he said, "Look at the sky, count the stars. If you're able to count them," then he said to him, "your offspring will be that numerous." Verse 6, Abram believed the Lord and he credited it to him as righteousness. And he also said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you from Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess." Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. Use this to challenge us, to change us, oh God. Lord, no matter where we're at on our spiritual journey, we're enjoying the ride, we're enjoying the moments in between the stops, or God, maybe we're at a stop that we've been at for a long time, and we just need to get past it. We just need to get back. Lord, speak to our hearts today. Use Abraham's story to help us today in 2024. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. There's five legs of Abraham's journey that I want you to see today, and that as we go along these legs, as we go along these rest stops, if you will, these pit stops, I wonder if you can relate. I wonder if maybe you find yourself in one of these same legs of your journey. So number one is the covenant. He's in the covenant stage. Now again, God has given Abraham this promise. And Abraham and his wife were very old, and God called them away from their home. And he says, "This is what I'm going to do." In verse 1, it says, "After these events, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision." So he's already got the promise of God, but again, God gives him another promise. He says, "Do not be afraid. I'm your shield. Your reward will be very great." Now, they're in this covenant relationship, and we see covenant relationships all over the Bible. They're personal covenants between two individuals, right? You have a role to keep the covenant. I have a role to keep the covenant. And each of us, what we do is we work together towards a common goal, and it's this covenant relationship. So here's God and Abram, and they're in this covenant together. Now, what's God's part? God's part is God promises Abram, "I'm going to give you a huge family. I'm going to bless your socks off. I'm going to give you so much land. You are going to make a difference. You're going to bless the entire world. That's what I'm going to do through you," right? You're going to be a blessing to all of humanity. That's God's part of the promise. So what's Abram's part? Abraham's part in this was is similar to Noah, all right? If you go back and you think God's covenant with Noah, this covenant, it required an outward sign. Okay, and God told Abraham, here's what I want you to do. And it's a little odd, but it's a symbol. God commands the men of Abraham to be circumcised. That's a symbol of that sets Abraham and his people and his generation. It sets them apart, and it shows that their future lays in God's hand, right? So here's this covenant relationship between Abraham and God. And God has a part, Abraham has a part. And so God tells Abraham, leave your land, leave everything you know, follow me wherever I tell you to go. Train your family, do what's right. This is what I need you to do. And you're gonna practice circumcision through every generation. So this covenant it's conditional, but it's also unconditional. God and Abraham both have a part to play, just like you and I today. Just like in any promise that you know that God's given you or you've read in God's word or some person has spoke over you, you have a part in that promise and God has a part. So here in chapter 15, God gives Abraham this covenant once again. But I want you to notice how he starts this. God begins this conversation like this. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. And I love how he starts with that. Before Abraham can even say anything, before Abraham can even approach him, he knows the fears, he knows the struggles, he knows the hard things that he's walking through. And here's what I love, that his covenant starts with his care. God's covenant with Abraham, he's already called and he's given him the promise and he's got it, but he's like, hey, don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Don't be nervous. God knew that Abram was going to be afraid. He knew what was going to upset him. But here's something that we need to know. And this is hard for some of us. And we got to realize this, that God doesn't always answer prayer immediately, but he always answers prayer immeasurably. He doesn't always tell us exactly what's going on and why this is happening. And you know, someone's hurt, someone's injured, someone we love is got a bad diagnosis and we pray and we want it immediately to go away. But he doesn't always work that way, does he? But we can always trust that God's going to work immeasurably. So God reminds Abraham here. He re-examines and he renews his promise to Abram and he says, don't be afraid. Nothing's changed, Abram. Nothing's changed since years ago when I gave you the first promise. Nothing's changed. And he wants Abram to steer away from unbelief. And I think that's where so many Christians live today. We live in this, well, I know what God's word says, but that's not what I see. I know what God's word says, but man, I just need reminding of who he is. So we see kind of this stop of this covenant between God and Abraham. The second leg I want you to see is concern. There's concern now in Abraham's journey. Look what he says there in verse 2. He says, but Abram said to the Lord, God, what can you give me? Since I'm childless and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus. So here's the crazy thing, and you read this. A lot has happened since God first promised Abraham, right? Since he first called him out, since he first, you know, told him what to do, a lot has happened. He's traveled many miles, right? Abram, up to this point where we're reading in Genesis 15, he's fought so many battles. Enemies have come against him and God's conquered them. God's done miracles right in front of him. God used him to defeat some really, really evil people and all these daring rescues happen. But when I read this, I'm going, why are you so dumb, Abraham? Why are you questioning God? He's shown up so many times in your life, but here you are once again going, what can you give me? What are you going to do for me, God? And then I realized, man, you know what? I do the same thing. How many times has God showed up in my life? How many times has God, you know, got me out of something that I, you know, his grace was there for me, his mercy was there for me, his forgiveness is always there for me. How many times have I failed him and promised him I wouldn't do it again, but then here I am. You see, these past triumphs in Abram's life, they weren't enough for his future. The things that God has done over and over in his life, he's still questioning. Maybe that's you today. Do you question God? Do you find yourself forgetting past victories? You find yourself forgetting how many times God has rescued you over and over and over. Maybe you're here today and you struggle with trusting in God's promises, especially when the road gets tough, right? When things get hard and it's, man, I hear what you're saying, God, but it doesn't look like what I'm seeing. And maybe that's you today. I think what we can learn from Abraham's life of what not to do is that concern left unattended can often turn into fear. Concern that is left unattended can often turn into fear. And what does fear do? And we all react and respond to fear in different ways. Some of us, you know, put our dukes up and we're ready to fight. Some of us cower and run away. But whatever it is, when concern is left unattended, and maybe that's you today, you just have some concern. And this is exactly what's happening to Abram. He's becoming afraid that God is either not able or God doesn't want to fulfill his promises. And it's not all that bad. Like when we read, it's not hard to understand why Abraham feels this way, right? He's concerned that God, you keep saying I'm going to have this big generation, but I don't have any kids. What are you going to do? Right? But look at this for a second. His focus is on keeping what he has, not on experiencing all that God has promised. So this part of his journey, and God's saying, hey man, calm down, I got you, you're in my hand. And Abram's going, wait a minute, I don't have an heir. The slave in my house is going to be my heir. And so Abram's focus is really about, it's more about who's going to inherit my wealth. Who's going to inherit? Not God, how are you going to use me in the world? That's not what he's thinking, right? He's thinking, who is going to inherit this? How are you going to show up and do this? It's not at all about experiencing what God has for him. So his concern turns into fear. But then we see a shift. The next leg for Abraham we see in verse 6 is one of confidence. Of confidence. Look at verse 6. After God gets done talking to Abraham, verse 6 says, Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So Abram had this concern, and he took his concern to the Lord. He went straight to the Lord. And what happened is that it turned into confidence. Abram believed the Lord, and the Bible says, and he, God, credited it to Abraham as his righteousness. So now, in the eyes of God, Abram is looked at as being righteous. Why? Just a minute ago, he was doubting. Just a minute ago, he had concern. Just a minute ago, he's like, he asked a question. What are you going to do for me, God? Right? But now God's given him this credit as righteousness. And it's a big deal, church, where we have to understand where we take our concerns. Where do I take my concerns? Psalm says this, cast your burden on the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken. Where do you take your concerns? Most of us take our concerns to people who are going to say the things that we want them to say, right? We want them to say, yeah, you're right, and yeah, you deserve this, and yes, yeah, you know, God's this and God's that. Most of us take our concerns to the wrong places, but when we bring our worries and our concerns to God, we're never going to meet a deaf ear. We're never going to meet a reluctant glance. We're going to have a father who bends his ear and he bends down and hears what we have to say. George Mueller was a preacher who opened up a large orphanage in England. And he said this, the children of God are permitted. Not only permitted, but invited. Not only invited, but commanded to bring all their cares, all their sorrows, all their trials, and all their wants to their heavenly Father. And then he says this, they are to roll all their burdens upon God. They are to roll all of their burdens upon God. You know, sometimes, and let's just be real today. I know some of y'all are super spiritual. I'm not. But sometimes a single prayer, I can pray one prayer and I open my eyes and nothing really feels different, right? It doesn't relieve the concern. It doesn't bring immediate confidence. Sometimes and therefore, what do I need to do? I gotta keep rolling. I gotta keep rolling my burdens. Roll the big burdens. Roll the small burdens. Keep rolling. And eventually what happens is it becomes a habit when I just keep rolling all my care, all my burdens upon him. You see, all throughout the New Testament, all throughout the Old Testament, Abraham is referred to that he had this great confidence, and it's referred to that God gave him and God called him righteous. Why is that? Years later, Paul writes this in Romans chapter 4. Listen to this. This is the Message paraphrase. So how do we fit what we know of Abraham, our first father in the faith, into this new way of looking at things? If Abraham, by what he did for God, got God to approve him, he could certainly have taken credit for it. But look at this. But the story we're given is a God story, not an Abraham story. When we read in Scripture is, Abraham entered into what God was doing for him, and that was the turning point. He trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. So he rolled into, all right, God, you've given me the promise, and I don't see it, but I'm going to go into what you have told me to do. And that's when you credit it to me righteousness. Not when I had the promise, and I did things my way, and I tried to figure out which road to take, and then hopefully I just get there. No. Abraham entered into what God was already doing, what God had called him to do, and that's what counted him as righteousness. Abraham's obedience is what led to confidence. And some of you probably sitting here today, you've never been at the rest stop of confidence in your relationship with Christ. You've never really had a lot of confidence when it comes to your journey and what God's doing. And today, you know, we're able to learn from Abraham. His obedience is what led to his confidence. Not that he had it all figured out and he went to church and read his Bible and he prayed for 6 hours a day. That's not. It's because he was obedient. But then we see another shift. He went from confidence, so he had concern, and then he had confidence, and then the next leg for Abraham is one of conflict. Now this journey of Abraham, it's all over the place, right? And I love being able to look at this because it kind of looks a lot like my life. Some days there's confidence, some days there's concern, a lot of days there's conflict. Why? Because I'm a sinner. And although there's no exact timeline here of this promise, you know, when God gave him the promise and what we read here in Genesis chapter 15 and 16, we can assume that there was a good amount of time, okay? But look at this conflict that now comes. This is after the promise, God's shown up time and time again, and look what happens. Genesis 16. Abram's wife, Sarai, had not borne any children for him, but she owned an Egyptian slave named Hagar. Sarai said to Abram, "Since the Lord has prevented me from bearing children, go to my slave, and perhaps through her I can build a family." This is getting real ugly real quick, right? Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So Abram's wife, Sarah, took Hagar, her Egyptian slave, and gave her to her husband, Abram, as a wife for him. This happened after Abram had lived in the land of Canaan 10 years. Verse 4, he slept with Hagar. She became pregnant. When she saw that she was pregnant, her mistress became contemptible to her. So what happens? Got the covenant, got the promise from God years and years ago, and I don't see it. I don't understand it. It's not happening. So Abram, he's like, man, you know what? I'm tired of waiting. And what we're going to do is we're just going to make our own way. God tells us we're going to have an heir, so we're going to figure this out on our own. And what happens? Sarah immediately despises her mistress. Obviously, this is a horrible idea, right? Obviously, this is the dumbest thing. Sarah is now just jealous immediately. I wonder how many of us would be able to say, yeah, I can kind of relate to that. Because you ever tried to do things on your own and make a way on your own? You ever tried to figure things out on your own? Instead of waiting on God's promise or instead of seeking godly counsel and what God calls us to do, you ever done that? Here's a question for you to chew on this week. In what ways am I not waiting on God and handling things on my own? In what ways am I not waiting on God today? Yeah, we're reading about Abraham and he had this promise from God and man, it was going to be great. And then he just thought, oh, man, forget it. I'm just going to do it my way. And he kind of had a little bit of control freak in him and he's going to do it and we'll see what happens, right? But then the whole journey's chaos. The whole entire thing, there's conflict everywhere, right? There's conflict between Abraham and Sarah. There's conflict between Sarah and Hagar. There's conflict between God and Abraham. The whole thing is chaos, and maybe that's where you sit today. Maybe that's what you can relate to today. There's conflict and there's mess, and it's a direct result of Abraham's decisions. And you can sit back today and go, yeah, I get that. I feel that. You see, Abraham is kind of lost right here. He's kind of in this position between, man, the God I love and the God that I want to trust and the God who's shown up. But then the circumstances, and they seem overwhelming and they seem impossible. And I'm kind of just, I'm stuck here. Now, thankfully, we have the rest of the story to read. And for Abraham and even for you and I today, maybe you do find yourself in this chaos. What we're able to see in God's word and along this journey and being the God of Abraham is that God is still faithful. We see time and time again in this final leg of the journey for Abraham and Sarah. The final leg is conception. When God gave Abraham and Sarah the promise and he told them that you're going to be the father of many generations, you know what they did? They laughed at God. They laughed. Us? You realize how old we are? Us? But look what happens. Genesis 21, the Lord came to Sarah as he said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. At the appointed time, God had told him. Abraham named his son who was born to him, the one Sarah bore to him, Isaac. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, here it is, Abraham circumcised him as God had commanded. Look at this. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and everyone who hears will laugh with me. She also said, who would have told Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I have borne a son for him in his old age. At this very time, when we read in this journey, God promised. And God's promise came true. Sarah conceived. The promise has been fulfilled. The family line now has an heir. A new generation has come. And I love that little part. It says, God has brought me laughter. We can kind of see the relief, the release. His promise finally came true. And God's promise has always been sure. God has always been trustworthy. But it's amazing. It's amazing when someone gets to live out that actual resolution of the promise. And you know, when we started City Hope Church and everybody asked, you know, what are you about? What's your vision? And what do you guys want to be? And I've always just had this heart that I want to see people experience Jesus. I want you to experience Jesus in every aspect of your life. I don't want people to see us and go, man, the music's great or the preaching's good or the cafeteria was decorated nice today. Like, I don't want people to experience us. I want you to experience Jesus. And Abraham and Sarah along this journey, man, there's so many stops and there's so many struggles, but then they finally get to experience the promise. That's exactly what I want for you, church. I want you to experience God's promise. I want you to experience the hope that God has, even in the darkest situations when there's concern. When there's conflict in our lives or in our marriage, I want you to understand that there's hope because you have a God who cares. And whatever leg you find yourself on in your journey, don't give up. You know, God came down and he spoke to Abraham personally. He gave him this promise. And I've never experienced that in my life. God's never, you know, showed up in my room and said a promise, But his word is full of a lot of promises and a lot of universal promises to those who decide to follow him, those who say they're Christians and they want to follow after God. And I want to encourage you this week. You guys been with us for a long time. I try to be very practical and I want to throw some scriptures up here and write it down, take a picture, you know, and I want to just encourage you. These are some promises of God that he gives to his followers. These are some promises of God that he gives to us. Are they up there? You got those, Caleb? There we go. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you're not a homework person. You're like, your homework, oh gosh, I don't want to do that. It's summer break. Take some time this week and open up God's word and read some of these promises. and allow God's word to speak to your heart and allow God's promises as you're on your journey, whether it's in the covenant or the concern, the confidence, the conflict. Maybe you're in the conception. Maybe you're in the where you're receiving the promise and you're seeing God do some amazing things wherever you're at in your journey. I want you to hear me today as we close our time together. The greatest promises of God are still available to you. You're not too far gone. You haven't created enough chaos yet, that there's not enough conflict in this world that is going to keep God from giving you his promises. And what he requires of us in this covenant relationship is he says, here's what he says. I promise you that I'm going to take all of your sins and I'm going to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself. I'm going to send my son Jesus, and that's his part. And he says, in the way that you get to grab a hold of that promise is, I want your life. I want you to give it to me. I want you to give me your heart. I want you to give me your life. Doesn't mean life's going to be great, right? Doesn't mean the journey's always going to be beautiful and going to be a yellow brick road, right? It's going to be tough. There's going to be conflict. There's going to be chaos. But my promise to you is this, that if you'll give me your life, you can spend eternity with me in heaven one day. I believe that God can take someone, God can take anyone from any place in life and give them a future that they cannot imagine. I find it so fascinating that we can read a story about a guy like Abraham whose spiritual journey was like this. And many of you, that's you. You feel this way. I feel this. Like many of us, this is our spiritual journey. And here's this guy that we're reading about in the Bible. And God himself refers to himself as the God of Abraham. The God of the guy who goes like this. The God of the guy who creates chaos, who creates conflict. I'm the God of that guy. That blows my mind. And if God's going to do it for Abraham, he can do it for you. He can do it for me. That's the God we serve. I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes. And man, I tell you what, kind of, you know, just joking a little bit earlier about missing church last week, but one of the joys in my life is being able to stand here and preach. And I just love looking at your face because I can just see God speaking to you and I can see your wheels turning and I can see you asking questions and I can see you, you know, just, is this for me? Is this God speaking to me? I can just see it in so many of your faces week in and week out, and it just brings me joy. Today, I just want to end with a challenge. Like, God's given these promises. Some of them are universal promises to all of us. Some of them may be specific to you, and you've got a covenant between you and God, and that's great. But none of this makes sense unless you have a relationship with him. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Christ and you don't have a relationship with him, there's nothing in this world that matters as much as you giving your life to Christ. For some of you, that may be hard. That may be a really difficult decision. And you know what? I say great. That's why we're here. So that we can take God's word and we can pray with you and we can show you and we can help you come to the realization that Christ is all you need. If you're here this morning and you don't have that relationship with Christ, let today be the day of salvation. We've got a prayer room. We've got team here. I'll be up here. Our pastors are here. Whatever it takes. Maybe you're here this morning and you can just so relate to Abraham. It's this up and down journey. It's this up and down road trip. But today God's maybe spoke to your heart about a stop that you're in, a season that you're in. It's conflict, it's concern, it's confidence, whatever it is for you. Maybe today God just needed to remind you of how many times over and over again he showed up. Even when you didn't understand it, but he showed up. He's calling you to strengthen that relationship. whatever it is, we're here to walk with you. We're here to help you along this journey. Our hand's out, and it's up to you to take it. Father, continue to speak to us, Lord, as we leave this place. Thank you for your word. Thank you for guys like Abraham that we can look at and shake our head at and make fun of and go, what are you thinking? But God, it's just so real because we find a lot of ourselves in that. And Lord, I just pray that each and every one of us would just see you for who you are. That you're the God who never fades. You're the God who never gives up. Even when we don't see it. Even when we don't feel it. Lord, I pray that we would trust in your promises. You promised you would never leave us or forsake us. You promised an eternity in heaven with you. You've given us these covenants, God, and I pray that we would do our part. Lord Jesus, thank you for each and every soul that's in this room today. Meet with us. Continue to stay with us as we walk out of here, as we go about our lives this week. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.